We now bring to these microphones David James of David James Reports. David James Reports, located on our website, prophecytoday.com, on our homepage on the right-hand column, you can find it. We deal with issues that the body of Christ needs to know about as we watch what is indeed happening in our world. Now, normally we would catch David James someplace in the United States, but we catch him in Jerusalem, Israel, at the hotel there on the Mount of Olives with a vantage point that gives him an opportunity to look at the Temple Mount and the entire area there where Jesus Christ left from and will return to someday. David, your first trip to Israel, going along with the Prophecy Today tour. Are you having a great time thus far? I know you've only had one day of touring, but is it exciting to you?
Yeah, this is it's a great experience. Like you said, it's my first full day, my first time in Israel and first full day on the tour. We started out at the Holocaust Museum and then went to the National Museum. And, if this is one day, I'm really looking forward to the next 10.
Indeed, it does get better from here. Well, let's talk about an issue that is going to be focused on the city of Jerusalem as well. In September of 2014 in Jerusalem, they're calling for what Christians will say will be Jesus Reigns That the World May Know. Now, that will be the title of the conference. It's going to take place there in the Hinnon Valley. And this major Christian gathering has the opportunity they're hoping for, to have 500 pastors or more come from the United States, and then 500 or more pastors from around the world, plus thousands of people. It's billed as perhaps the largest ever virtual gathering of Christians around the world because they'll be streaming it live on internet. Give us some details behind this. I understand that the Rabbi Jonathan Cahn, who we have talked about and even had together on this broadcast before, is the one kind of heading this up along with Promise Keepers. Talk to us about this upcoming event.
It seems to be a joint effort being spearheaded by Promise Keepers. And a lot of people probably don't know this about Promise Keepers, but one segment of their ministry focuses on Messianic Jews as well. And so in February, the president of Promise Keepers, Raleigh Washington, had a news conference at Pastor Cahn's church in Wayne, New Jersey, and they announced this upcoming meeting and gave some idea of what it's about. And one of the big things that they're talking about is to try to, what they say, is close a gap, a 2,000-year-old gap that has existed between Jews and Christians, and even specifically Messianic Jews and Christians.
Well, give me a definition, as you understand it, coming from Jonathan Cahn and others, as to what a Messianic Jew is, and what divide are we talking about? If I remember Ephesians chapter 2, it said the two people who were at enmity with each other have come back together through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. They're called Christians today. Talk to me about what I've just related to you.
Jimmy, this is really the heart of one of my main concerns. You know, we as dispensationalists, you and I and many other dispensationalists, we have a heart for the Jewish people. We believe that Israel has a future in God's program. Nobody has been a more staunch supporter of the nation. And we have a heart to see the Jews come to Christ as their Savior and become a part of the body of Christ. But in this case, you know, I was thinking this afternoon, there is no biblical reference or biblical precedent for someone to be called a Messianic Jew. That is simply not a biblical term. And I would even go so far as to say there's no such thing as a Messianic Jew. Now, a Messianic Jew from the perspective of Jonathan Cahn and others who use that term would be an ethnic Jew who has recognized that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and have placed their faith and trust in him as their Savior. So they are, of course, they're ethnic Jews, but spiritually before God, in just the same way as Gentiles who may be ethnic Gentiles, spiritually before God, we are Christians. An ethnic Jew who trusts in Christ is no longer a spiritual Jew before God. He is a Christian, and as you said in Ephesians 2, we form one new man. And I would also say this, because of a lot of the developments over the last, especially 50 years, and then even more so in the last 20, if there is a gap that exists between evangelicals and messianic Jews, I have to be honest, I don't think it's one of the evangelicals' making, but rather of messianic Jews trying to set themselves apart from other Christians.
Isn't that then dividing the body of Christ and a pretty dangerous situation in reality?
Yes, and it's unfortunate and it's unnecessary. And you know, it's not talking about, you know, I was in Hungary for 16 years. And so you have ethnic Hungarians who are part of the body of Christ. But, you know, there were things that were part of the ancient Hungarian religion. You don't bring those in just because they're a part of that culture. You leave things behind that are to be left behind as you embrace Christianity and you embrace Christ and you have fellowship with other believers. So it's not trying to rob people of their ethnic identity, but it's trying to emphasize and reinforce their new identity in Christ. And you know, you think about all of the New Testament churches, every single founding member of the New Testament churches were ethnic Jews, and yet they didn't refer to themselves as messianic Jews or twice blessed Jews or completed Jews. They all saw themselves as Christians, and they were embodying the new teaching that Christ had brought and then the apostles have brought of how to live in accordance with this new identity in Christ.
What was very interesting to me as I stepped back and looked at this movement, this messianic Jewish movement in the congregations, is that there are a lot of Christians from a Gentile background who have fallen in love with Judaism, and it is exciting, but they've become a part of these messianic fellowships as well, and they should not be. It looks like they're trying to go back into Judaism, where the pastor calls himself a rabbi. Sometimes he wears a prayer shawl with 613 knots on it. They're getting back onto the law. This is dangerous, is it not?
Yeah, and there are a couple of issues along with that. One, depending on what church and what group you're talking about, they're not actually being that effective in reaching Jews for Christ, which is one of the supposed reasons for doing this. They're attracting far more ethnic Gentiles. In some cases, 80+% of these so-called messianic congregations are actually ethnic Gentiles. And again, another one of the things, you never see the pastors of New Testament churches and the elders in those churches, many of those churches were Jews. They're never called rabbis. That title for teacher was never brought in as a formal title for any leader in a New Testament church. And, you know, even something, you know, I don't want to make mountains out of molehills, but even to think about 1 Corinthians 11 and about head coverings, Paul said that men are not to pray with a head covering, and doesn't nature itself tell you? We're not under that system of the Mosaic Law. We're in a new system functioning in the body of Christ, and there are proper ways to even go about worship in that way.
I realize that this is going to be a co-effort, Rabbi Kahn and Promise Keepers going together to put together this conference in Jerusalem, Jesus Reigns, That the World May Know. And what about Promise Keepers? Are they really pretty much on target, or are they kind of those guys who take all different types of trails that should not be taken by a true Bible-believing, born-again Christian?
Philosophically, if you were to write a doctrinal statement for Promise Keepers, it is, if you love Jesus, that's enough. and basically you avoid any other doctrinal issues. And the things that are serious doctrinal issues, you just agree to, not, it's not just agreeing to disagree, you agree not to discuss them from the pulpit. Anything that might cause dissension or problems on doctrinal lines, they're basically taboo. You can't deal with them. And another thing is that the founder of Promise Keepers, Bill McCartney, is a converted Catholic, became a believer, and he started, his church is a vineyard church, and some of the vineyard churches have become really quite extreme. For example, the Toronto Airport Church, which is known for the Toronto Blessing, some really extreme stuff. I read something just a little bit ago that there may be even some connection with the Kansas City Prophets, which is way, way out there. And I also read a quote by Bill McCartney's pastor that said he saw Promise Keepers as perhaps part of the raising up of Joel's army. That's a whole nother realm of extreme charismatic movement.
Well, indeed, we need to be very much concerned. I've got to just bring this last point to you. Raleigh Washington, who is the president or leader of Promise Keepers, said, "We're going to Israel not to proselytize Jews." And what's the use of going if you're not going to talk to Jewish people about the Messiah, Jesus Christ? Seems to be the element of a dual covenant theology going on here.
I'm sure that Jonathan Kahn himself is not dual covenant. And for those who don't know, dual covenant teaching says that there, God has one plan of salvation for Christians and another plan of salvation for the Jewish people, and they don't necessarily have to believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ in order to be saved. But when talking about this gap between Jews and Christians being 2,000 years old, well, it's not between those who are ethnic Jews who are believers as far as Christians. The gap is between those unbelieving Jews and Christians. And if you're not going to do this in order to reach those Jews for Christ, it raises this question, well, are they thinking that you don't have to share the gospel with Jewish people? I mean, there's just one thing right after another. And I don't want to be overly negative, but this just has red flags all over it. I'm really concerned about that. And then to happen here in Jerusalem, where the eyes of the world are going to be focused on it, it's troubling.
It is troubling. It's supposed to take place September the 17th, 2014. It's entitled Jesus Reigns, That the World May Know. And we're not finished talking about this. David happens to be in Jerusalem today. I'm going to be joining him the first of next week. We'll continue to investigate what's going on and keep you posted as to all that is taking place. This is very much concerning, as David has just said to each and every one of us. David, have a great trip, and we'll join you on Monday. Looking forward to getting back together. But thank you for this very special and important report for us today.
Thanks, Jimmy. Lord willing, see you in a couple days.